This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. Hump Day edition
of day.
Sean, RJ, and Roberto. We got Pepe in the back firing up the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We'll go inside the star at 7:20. We're going to need some more time for all the work and audio that Bobby grabbed from the Cowboys' new assistant coaches, but we'll still keep it a little Cowboy-related because we need to take an early look at free agency, even though Choppy wrote last night that this is probably a big fat waste of time when it comes to talking about the Cowboys.
Seems to be, and also a depressing exercise.
Yeah.
And I don't know what is more depressing, that the Cowboys...
This used to be a Mavericks topic that was depressing.
Yeah.
And now it's a Cowboys topic
right. Where
everyone's going to text in, ha ha ha, do something else,
right. They're
not going to spend.
Yeah, because the Cowboys have two of the top 20 free agents, and I don't know what's more depressing, that they have the two of the top 20 and their best fits are elsewhere, or that several top 50 free agents' best fits are with teams they are looking up at in the division, or the Cowboys' cheapness is so well known around the league that the only top 50 free agent that has us as the best fit is a 30-year-old corner that if I asked you who he played for, you would not be able to figure it out.
I don't know what's more depressing. It's not a great fit. This is kind of the reality of where they were going to be at for the next 2 years, is they were not going to be active. And so I think part of that is also just what ESPN's doing is they're putting out of their head, like, maybe they're a good fit for a top 10 player. Dallas isn't going to pay for a top 10 player. That's not happening. Mm. And so if we're trying to make realistic couplings, yeah, you're probably not getting anybody in the top 30.
We won't participate in week one. We probably will not participate in the first half of week two. And then depending on when the league year starts and what day it is and how spring break falls, I mean, they may not even be part of week three.
Pete Prisco with his top 100 free agents. I'll just run down the list. Who would have ever thought that Sam Darnold would appear number one on one of these lists?
Wow.
Sammy D. 2, T. Higgins. He just got tagged the other day. Josh Sweat, Super Bowl hero with 2.5 sacks, and he's age 28. He's number 3. Trey Smith, Chiefs guard. Ronnie Stanley, Ravens tackle, but injury problems. Milton Williams, Eagles DN. Falcons center. DJ Reed, Jets corner. Javon Holland, Dolphins strong safety. Zach Bond. Look at the Eagles. They already have 3 of the top 10 available free agents, according to Prisco. At number 11, Osa Odighizuwa, Dallas Cowboys. Here's the write-up. Odighizuwa is a disruptive inside player who can push the pocket and pressure the quarterback. He is not overpowering in the run game because he is not big for the position, but he can help a team in need of interior disruption. He turns 27 in August, and I saw some like Spotrac or contract speculation and projections for Odighizuwa. Mm-hmm. What did that number look to be and come in at?
The tag is 22-23, so probably around 20. Something like that. Probably a projection around 19, 20.
I don't know, man. I don't even. You can't.
No, but I'm saying that'll be roughly probably the projection of where he's at.
Yeah.
I you're right, it will. I can't envision being a team and say, yeah, I'm going to pay him $20 million a year. Like, he's a good player. $20 million, unless the money is just so out of sight now, where, like, you know, the random NBA guys make $15 million.
PFF has him 4 for $85 million.
Yeah, so that's right in line there. And he's somebody who, look, has he been a finisher? Not all the time. Like, I mean, this was his career high in sacks this year, 4.5 sacks. But he was incredibly disruptive and incredibly consistent throughout the entire year, where I could definitely see some defensive-minded coaches thinking, like, I can get probably 10, 11 sacks out of that guy. And even if I'm not getting 10, 11 sacks, I'm getting a ton of disruption, and I'm forcing turnovers, and I'm forcing bad throws. And he is one of the highest effort guys in the NFL.
Would he be better suited for a 3-4?
No. No, he's a 4-3 up tackle. That's under tackle. That's what he does.
Do you know the highest paid defensive tackle in the National Football League?
Chris Jones?
No, because I think Chris Jones took a questionable contract. Or I'm looking at defensive tackle cap hits, so maybe that's different, because you figure Chris Jones would be up there. But
Christian Wilkins.
Kenny Clark has a $26 million cap hit out of Green Bay. Jeffrey Simmons, 21. I'm just trying to tell you who else is in that 20-a-year range, and you have to decide as a Tolo if Odighizuwa should be paid that. Daron Payne, 21. Jonathan Allen, 21. The Commanders should have a defensive line you cannot run against, or such a disruptive interior pass rush that quarterbacks are terrified. Do they have that in Payne and Allen making $40 million combined?
And you said that's cap hits or average annual value?
Cap hit.
So if that's cap hits, Osa's cap hit next year, even on if it's the $85 million that PFF put out there, Osa's cap hit probably ends up being next year around 14, 15 is what I would guess, or maybe lower.
Vita Vea, number 5 at 21. Quinnen Williams, Jets, 20. Grady Jarrett, Atlanta, 20. DJ Jones, then it plummets from 20 to 13.
Yikes.
So there are all the guys in that $20, $21 million range.
A lot of the haves and the have-nots, quarterbacks do that too, where you'll see, like, there's all this, you know, you get the top end, but then you even get to $40 million, and then all of a sudden it just plummets to like 12.
But it's not going to happen here, right, for that number?
I don't think so. But, and I mean, I wouldn't be stunned if he ends up either back in Washington with Dan Quinn, or goes to Seattle with Adam Dirty.
Number 12 free agents available, according to Pete Prisco: Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay; Carlton Davis, Lions; Nick Bolton, who I've really always liked out of Kansas City as a linebacker. And then, you know, a lot of no names: Mekhi Becton, Khalil Mack is down here as well. This is a pretty weak free agent class, Bobby.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Prisco had T. Higgins second on there. ESPN had him first. Higgins is a guy who has never made a Pro Bowl, wants $30 million a year, and his career average, his average season in the NFL is 60 receptions for 950 yards. That, to me, like, if that's your top free agent, I'm not wanting to pay the top of the market for that either. I mean, Zach Martin had an awful year last year. We all looked at it and said, man, that looks like he's having a serious decline. He's in the top 20 free agents. That should tell you what the class is like.
Is it normal? It's a very heavy defensive free agent class as well. I can't remember. Is that normal? Like, there's only, I mean, of the top,
I mean, very,
you know, 25 guys, you only have two wide receivers?
Very rarely, I feel like, people are letting skill position players hit the market. They're paying receivers. They're paying quarterbacks. They're locking those guys in.
Speaking of quarterbacks, choose to believe this or not, the New York Jets could be looking at Justin Fields. And then, y'all, Bobby Bell last night wrote the longest. I can't believe. I stopped down and I was like, when's the last time any of our emails have had this much prep for such a bum? But Bobby went off on a tangent because the Pittsburgh Steelers may be looking at Daniel Jones. So, Daniel Jones, Steelers, New York Jets, Justin Fields.
Just draft someone, man. If you're one of those two teams, you don't have a quarterback.
Two teams.
Draft one. You know what Daniel Jones is. We think we know what Justin Fields is. What we don't know is what Jackson Dart is.
Yep.
Or Quinn Ewers. Or I would Miller was off my board. Eight and three quarter hands. He's off the board. I wouldn't draft him in the seventh round. We have no idea what those guys are going to be in the NFL. Now, unless you want to tell me that, because one of these guys is going to be Baker or Darnold or Geno, right? There's going to be another one of them where they turn it around. They figure it out. That happens.
It's becoming way more common.
Trendy, yes. It's almost 3 years in a row.
I mean, yeah, recent history. Darnold, Mayfield, Tannehill, Geno Smith, like guys who flamed out have boomeranged back a little bit.
So, you know, your plan, I think, needs to be what Minnesota did. Draft a guy. Whoever's available on the board, just draft him. You're in the first round, just draft somebody. And that, look, if you want to get Justin Fields to be there as a safety net, whatever, fine. But, man, if I'm Pittsburgh, all my eggs are going into finding a guy.
Why did you go off on this tirade?
Because we were talking about Pittsburgh quarterbacks yesterday, and we were talking about, like, oh, there's these rumors of Trevor Lawrence, and we're like, Matthew Stafford might be a good fit there. And then I see this report, and I'm like, I feel so stupid for not realizing. You said a second ago, Chop, we know what Daniel Jones is. Yes, he is a Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Daniel Jones's game is like, that is 100% a guy that the Steelers, in the middle of potentially having a contending roster, go like, well, let's let him be the quarterback this year. Like, let's just look at the quarterbacks that they've had since, like, outside of Ben Roethlisberger over the last 30 years. These are some of the quarterbacks they've had. Tommy Maddox, Mike Tomczak, Neil O'Donnell, Charlie Batch, Mitchell Trubisky, Byron Leftwich. Like, these are all just Daniel Jones type of players here.
I told you this weeks ago, the problem in Pittsburgh is whoever's selecting the quarterback. If Mike Tomlin has that power, someone has to tell him, you're not in charge of the quarterback. It has to be the GM. If it's the GM, then maybe Tomlin should have a say. If it's the GM and you don't want Tomlin to have a say, then you need to get a new general manager. Because whatever they're doing, it's not the job they're doing coaching the quarterback. They're getting the last possible drip of talent and ability out of these bums and scrubs. It's whoever is picking the starter. That is the problem in Pittsburgh. What are you doing? It can't be Fields and Jones. Can't be these can't be rumors as starters, right?
I don't know. I mean, like, these teams, like, if you get, let's say you're Aaron Glenn. You know, do you want to start your first year as a head coach with a guy that you have to, that's never played the position at the NFL level? I understand the thought process there, but
so have Fields like play for a year.
Sure, but I just can't imagine that's the way you want to go. You're in a position to draft somebody, draft somebody.
These are their quarterbacks. Like, I was thinking about it. Do you want me to run through my list of names that I think are Pittsburgh quarterbacks?
Sure.
All right, these are the guys that should, like, are Daniel Jones, like, first. Look over the last 20, 30 years. Chad Henne. That guy definitely should have been a Pittsburgh quarterback. That's a guy who played for Michigan. He was born in Pennsylvania. He's completely unathletic. He's got the round Big Ben Roethlisberger face that looks like he's retaining fluid from a kidney issue or something. Like, that's Chad Henne is Pittsburgh to the max. Scott Mitchell totally should have been a Pittsburgh quarterback. 6'6", left-handed, couldn't move, like, played for a crappy Detroit team for years. Again, that seems like a guy that Pittsburgh would be like, yeah, he should have started for us. Kerry Collins is maybe the most Pittsburgh quarterback I could think of.
Yeah.
I was so sure he had played for Pittsburgh. I was like, I got to go look on Pro Football Reference. Certainly he did, because he just fits. I, like, Mandela affected myself, and I could have sworn I'd seen him throw an interception for Pittsburgh to, like, Daylon McCutcheon in a meaningless Browns game late in the season. Also, anybody who's ever played quarterback for the Bears, I feel like, should probably play quarterback for the
Rex
Steelers.
Rex Grossman.
They're the same guys.
Butler.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got Trubisky.
But what are they thinking?
I don't know. Like, I just think they are.
What's their fit? What are they thinking? Is all right? That's the mold.
Like, do they not recognize that when they've been great and they've won this, they've had an elite quarterback?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, to me, they seem so committed to process the way the Giants do, and the way that some of these other organizations, that it's just it's this weird blue collar, like, process mentality.
Let's take you inside the star. All the Cowboys' new coaches spoke yesterday. Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider, was there. What you need to know about Brian Schottenheimer's new staff. Plus, we'll chop it up as well during the commercial-free expressway, the hump day edition of Sean and RJ, continuing on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And the Expressway means we go commercial free all the way up until 8 o'clock here on DFW Sports Station. Sean Shreifar, Jay Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt, who right after his four-hour show yesterday went on over to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco to bring you the very latest on the Cowboys. We will chop it up with Ralph James at 7:40 this morning.
Yeah, let's dive into some of this audio. Earlier today, we already played some Clayton Adams. We'll get into some of that a little bit later on. The new offensive coordinator. I wanted to play some of these cuts, though, from their new defensive line coach, Aaron Whitecotton. And he was one of the more, I thought, interesting people we talked to yesterday in terms of the way that he was a little more. Yesterday, you would get some guys who would say, hey, what are you planning on doing with this guy? Or what do you think of this here or there? And they go, it's so early. We're still figuring things out. I can't even really commit to any scheme thoughts right now. I can't really answer anything like that right now. Aaron Whitecotton was willing to just kind of go into some detail about some of the different things that he thought and some of the different philosophies that he had. So I thought some of this was pretty good. This is cut 23 here. This is Aaron Whitecotton talking about his vision for Micah, which should make RJ Choppy pretty happy.
Mike is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, premier player, and my vision for him is a sacked quarterback. That's my vision for him. So that will be our focus and our goal for him to do what it takes to help the team win and at the same time pressure the quarterback on a consistent basis. And he's really done that since he's been here in the NFL at a very high level, and I expect to see the same.
And we heard some similar stuff from Eberflus yesterday. It doesn't sound like there's going to be much disguising with Micah. Micah's just going to rush.
Hell yeah. I think, you know, people get wrapped up in sack numbers. Fans especially get wrapped up in sack numbers. Pressure is just as important.
Yeah.
You pressure the quarterback, you get them off their timing, you get them, you know, not being able to plant their front foot. You get weak throws. You get turnovers in the secondary. Pressure is, you know, if you were to tell me I was getting five sacks in a game, but that was the only pressure I was getting, or I was getting zero sacks and 10 pressures, you know, you might not go that far, but, like, you're getting close to being the same. Like, I might actually take the 10 pressures, no sacks.
I mean, Sean keeps saying that I keep becoming more and more like Dan Orlovsky, that we're morphing into the same person. You're morphing into Michael Lombardi more and more every day, because that has been Michael Lombardi's contention for a long time, is screw sacks, I want pressure. I want to force turnovers. I want to force, you know, reckless decisions from the other team. A sack, like, especially in today's NFL, sacking somebody on first down gives you second and 18, and today's NFL players That's can fine. Pick up that first down.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you guys are the same.
Look, I mean, Michael has fair points. He also, I think he's just a gatekeeper. That's my issue with him.
He also knows who John Connally is, the former governor of Texas.
Yeah, I know who John Connally is. I know who Governor Connally is. Okay, there's a difference.
Yeah, there you go.
I know right. John.
This is Cut 24. This was a good question. They were, right after you talked about Micah, Babe was joking with him a little bit, like, was that a just demand for you before you take this job? Was Micah's got to be on the defensive line? So they're joking around about it. But Babe had asked him, he said, how are you supposed to kind of game plan and spend this time getting your scheme together when you don't know which of your defensive linemen are even coming back?
We always have all these conversations about what the team looks like with this guy, with that guy. I really trust in the Jones family and Mr. McClay to do that and get the right people on the boat. The biggest thing that we go through right now is we give them a vision for what we're looking for. You know, give them, here are the traits that we love, here are the things that are important to us, and then we count on them to do a great job. And they have drafting and a free agency here of getting those type of, and just having that open, like, open communication, so we're all on the same page about what we're looking for and what we want. That's the biggest thing, and it's been awesome.
Where's this guy from?
Where did he coach originally?
No, like, where is he from? Because I'm hearing a...
He sounds like Carter Freeman.
I'm hearing some guy. No, I'm hearing some Louisiana with...
Oh, that's a good point.
I detected a Persian accent.
I'm hearing a guy. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look. He was... So he's been around.
Guarantee
with...
is somewhere in the South.
Certainly. I'm going to have to look it up here, but I'll find out where he's from. But surely it's going to have to be, we'll see how good your accent game is. Okay. But to mention that there, he talks about when he specifies, he says, meeting with the Joneses and Will McClay and giving them parameters. That's a big part of what Will McClay likes to do whenever they get a new coach in here. And the issue is usually they're swapping out, you know, because they're so stable with how which coaches they have here, they're swapping out one guy or two coaches or something like that. Swapping out an entire coaching staff now means that Will McClay's got to set up time for, I need each of these coaches to meet with everybody in the personnel department and share with them, here are my parameters. And so it's a ton of work. But the fact that Aaron White gotten is saying, hey, right now we're focusing a lot on giving them the things they need to go for a shopping list, sounds like the Cowboys are probably thinking, we might be losing some depth this offseason, and we might need to replenish it, and we need to know what they want.
Very disappointed in you, Sean. You were a, you said Louisiana, right?
Well, that's what, it sounds like my buddy from Louisiana.
Okay, I get you. Because you were a NASCAR guy.
Yeah, well, not by choice.
You were a NASCAR guy, and there is a very distinct.
North Carolina?
Charlotte accent. In the NASCAR world.
You know what? I don't know if that's that far off, you know? If I said it's a NASCAR accent, there you go.
You could have
that could be, you know, a little draw in there. There's a draw.
I mean, it's basically the South. I mean, it literally has North in the name, but you were kind of, I mean, I consider North Carolina the South, so it counts to me.
It's not I consider it. It is.
It is. all right, next clip here. He talks about we're communicating what we want, and this was some of the stuff that I shared yesterday that seemed to get people intrigued about what they want to do. Asked Aaron White, okay, well then what are you looking for in defensive linemen?
You know, we need explosive athletes. We need guys that that are change the line of scrimmage, and they're great versus the run, and they also affect the passer. So those are the biggest things that we look for, and those just these explosive athletes that play on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
You talk about effort being important for what you want to do. Is effort something you think you can coach out of people, or does that need to be a trait they already have?
I think there's a combination. You can always improve. but we can't bend on playing hard. And you all, it's a consistent conversation from the first week in training camp until the week of the Super Bowl. Run to the ball, run to the ball, run to the ball. And I'm not talking about just like, you know, pretend like you're running to the ball, like sprint to the ball every time till your lungs are on fire, go back and do it again. And so I feel like there's a little bit of both. Like there's some people who just don't have it in them and maybe they're just not right for us, but I think that's something that we can consistently work on. It will always be emphasized. I can promise you that.
And that has been, I guess it shouldn't be surprising. Schottenheimer says culture, culture, culture. That's the biggest thing. That's the top line item for us. That's what we want to do. So I guess it shouldn't be surprising that yesterday, the most common theme you got out of these coaches was that issue. Effort, motor, physicality. Like that was like, this is the top item we feel like we're having to drill into people right now.
So when I start off watching this, especially was the case growing up in Maryland, watching those Ravens defenses, the first week of the season, it always feels like teams, there's seven guys at the ball. There's eight guys at the ball. Everyone's running to the football. But can that take place, and is that taking place in week five? Is it taking place in week 10? Is it taking place in week 15? Those Ravens teams, it always seemed like it took place. And one of these coaches had the comment yesterday. I loved it. And look, I feel like RJ chopped with a semi-eye roll here. All these guys are going to pretty much say the same thing. It doesn't matter who it is, where they come from, who they're coaching, where they're coaching. They're all talking about hustle and relentlessness and all that stuff that we sometimes fall in love with during an offseason, especially with new guys. But one of these coaches said, you're going to be judged by how close to the football you are at the end of the play. Yep. And I was like, oh, that's a, you know, that's a generic thought, but I hadn't seen it like specified like that. I love that.
It's Bobby Carpenter's greatest trait. He never actually made the play, but he was always standing around the pile.
No, he was with Sean vacationing in Mexico alongside Tony Romo before a playoff game. Thanks, Bobby. That was actually the offensive line coach, Connor Riley, who mentioned that. And that quote you mentioned, this was the exact one. And this is because you're right. It sounds generic. It sounds general. But Connor Riley went a step forward and he didn't just say, this is what we want. He's flat out saying your value to this football team is going to be judged completely by it. The quote was, the measurement of value to this football team is going to be how close you are to the football when the play is dead. Because he said that is everything in terms of that's in your control. You giving effort and you being around is what's in your control. So if you're not controlling the things that you can control, we've got an issue.
And that's an offensive assistant saying about his players, yeah. Not a defensive. You're like, no. 999 times out of 1,000, that's a defensive coach saying you're going to be judged with how close to the football you are, not an offensive line coach.
Yeah, and that's exactly the type of mentality that I think clearly based on hearing all the assistants talk yesterday, that's what Schottenheimer drilled into them is, hey, this is what I want. This is what you guys need to coach up, which is a cousin or a function of a team that has strong culture and strong makeup. And that's what Schottenheimer clearly had highlighted. And so getting that, and I think tapping into potentially some of these college head coaches or these college coaches or some of these younger coaches, he's trying to tap into some of that more, you know, upbeat, aggressive, energetic spirit. We all had talked about when Robert Saleh was interviewed for the job, of like, well, what if this is for defensive coordinator? And I think everybody seemed to be pretty on board with the idea of Robert Saleh coming in here and being the defensive coordinator wouldn't be a bad thing. Aaron Whitecotton has coached with Robert Saleh for a number of years. He was with him with the Jets. He had been with him with the 49ers. So he was asked about the biggest thing that he learned from Robert Saleh.
The style of defense is the most important thing. Attacking, you know, great fundamentals. We do all the little things at a high level, very detailed. We may not do a million different defenses, but we do them at a high level. We do them detailed. I think that's the biggest thing is our style of play, our violence, our effort, our passion, how fun we have playing football, and then just being detailed in everything that we're doing. That's critical. And it doesn't matter what team you're with or what your scheme is. If you don't get those base things done, you ain't got a chance.
What are you asking those guys? Are they redirect? Do you attack? I mean,
we're attack front. So what you've seen from us in San Fran and with the Jets, we're attack front. And I want those guys to play on the other line, side of the line of scrimmage and get after people and play hard. We want to play hard, great effort, great violence, great passion.
So a lot of the times with Mike Zimmer, you would see defensive linemen, they're asked to read and react. It's different play styles. The San Francisco, the Saleh, D'Amico Ryans, that whole ideology is more about attack front is just break through the line of scrimmage as fast as you can, disrupt everything. Get upfield. where it can cause some issues, it did with Rod Marinelli at times, was when they would get so far upfield so quickly, it created running lanes for quarterbacks and an era of mobile quarterbacks that allows for bigger gash plays in that sense. But that's why San Francisco, the Jets, they don't blitz. They send four guys, and they say, we're going to win with four guys. And if you look at consistently when defensive lines have been big impact, had big impact moments in Super Bowls in recent years, like you think of
it's all four,
what the Giants did against the Patriots, what the Eagles did this year, it's winning with four. And so that's a big
cheat code.
That is a big fundamental for them. And so they're going to, they've got to get the right guys in there. And so they're clearly looking at who actually matches up with this style of, we've got to get upfield, we've got to attack, because right now those guys may not be on the defensive line, even some of the guys you have under contract. Mozzie Smith might not be a perfect fit for this. Now, there was some positive things said yesterday about him. In fact, Stephen Jones had said at Senior Bowl that part of what they wanted to hear from Matt Eberflus when they interviewed him was specifically, what are your plans for Mozzie? Like, how are you going to get this out of him? And so that's definitely something that's highlighted. And Eberflus had mentioned yesterday, and like I said, we've got a lot of audio to get through this week, but Eberflus had mentioned yesterday, said he loved Mozzie coming out when he was evaluating him with the Bears. And so he says, I see a skill set that I think I can work with. And honestly, I think that's a skill set that Mozzie has that Rod Marinelli would have really liked, that Rod Marinelli would have really pushed for. And that's where Eberflus really got a lot of his ideology and a lot of his different thoughts. But Aaron Whitecotton, it's clear, they're going to next year. There's not going to be a whole bunch of ridiculous blitzing. Those double A gap blitzes from Zimmer, done. The extra rusher that Quinn would send, you know, occasionally, that's done. This is going to be one of the lower blitzing teams in the NFL next year. And that's why Micah Parsons is going to be on the defensive line in all likelihood, is because that's where they got to get their pressure from him.
Bobby Bell putting in all the extra homework, radio show 4 hours, the only full-time sports talk host, then putting in all that work, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco as our Cowboys insider. It's hump day.
Hump day.
It's
hump
expressway. Day. That means we chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Kanye West does not have a prenup.
Ooh.
Him and Bianca Censori.
That's how you say it.
Don't look at
me. Censori.
All I know is the outfit she wore for that latest award show.
What outfit was that?
Was she wearing much of anything?
Yes.
That was mesh.
It was nude by Kanye.
Yes, nude by Kanye. Well, apparently they are heading for a divorce. She has contacted lawyers. He has contacted lawyers. And he is apparently having trouble finding representation. Nobody wants to deal with him. So it is, they apparently.
So OJ found representation easier than Kanye?
Well, OJ was found not guilty.
Oh, that's right. Good point.
So, it's just he's having problems finding attorneys right now. And they have, apparently, according to the Daily Mail, an agreement where he agrees to pay her $5 million in a divorce settlement, but Bob.
what?
I texted the explanation to y'all.
Of why he can't get a lawyer?
Yeah. And according to reports, you know, she is staying in her $35 million house in Beverly Hills. That's where she is staying right now. And again, tough. It depends on where the divorce is filed, where the marriage was, because if it's like a 50-50 state or whatever, like California, just cut it down the middle. We'll see what happens here with this, but this is going to get very, very ugly, potentially very ugly.
He's been going on one of his Twitter rampages.
And oh, you don't say.
My thought was, it's such a lame and sad state of affairs that the shock value stuff that he's tweeting, all of us are like, okay, dude, like, roll your eyes. Antonio Brown went from crazy to offensive and funny, depending on where your sense of humor is. Kanye's still doing his shock value stuff, and I'm like, that's how lame, pathetic, sad you are that it doesn't even, I don't at least go, oh my gosh, I gotta rush to Kanye's account to see what he's tweeting, because it's all the same.
Yeah, I feel like Antonio Brown, even in his most offensive moments, is usually just like, he's like, oh, this got a funny reaction last time. People thought it was funny. I'm gonna top it. Yeah. Like, he's almost like playing to an audience. Kanye is not playing to an audience. Kanye is trying to win believers over to his worldview, and that's where it's like, okay, well, this is a little more troubling.
Yeah, and Bianca's like, yeah, I'm out. I'm out on this thing. This thing is getting a little bit too crazy for me. As if the previous 5 years or whatever hasn't been crazy enough.
Yeah.
She didn't have enough information about Kanye West.
That makes absolutely sense. Not. So, yeah, Kanye is on the hook right now. We don't know. But
does he just have unlimited money? Like,
he's supposed to be. Supposedly, he's a billionaire.
Oh, okay.
Because he was in on everything. He was in on not just his music. I mean, he produced so much. My story here. The FBI has discovered 2,400 records about the JFK assassination.
How'd they just discover it?
It's been secretive. Like, nobody has been able to get into the files. And now it's open, and they're going through it, and they're going to figure out what they're going to wind up redacting, what they're not going to redact. But I'm super, it's 14,000 pages. Someone's going to go through this.
So this is like a box that they're like, oh, we found a box. Yeah. Or this is like, it was encrypted and we cracked the code. Like, what is it? I don't understand.
There's probably.
It's like RJ finding his black suit the other day for the funeral. Yeah, oh, we found this in the garage.
Yeah,
we did. You found this in the storage.
14,000 pages of the FBI of documents the FBI found in a review triggered by the executive order. The existence of the new documents was disclosed to the White House, and then its plan is to disclose the assassination records under the order. What they find, what they actually redact, we don't know yet. We don't know yet, but I assume they just found a big filing cabinet. A big filing cabinet and just
I assume
a bunch
it's,
of records.
I assume it's all going to be very boring stuff that's why it was lost, is because everyone's like, this box is useless, throw it over here.
If you're going to release it, no redacting allowed. That's what I thought President Trump, you know, that's the Trump way. Hey, screw it, put it all out there.
Yeah, I don't
no
know.
No redacting, no covering up.
I'm sure they're going to redact some things about the CIA involvement, if there was. Or people that are still alive.
Okay.
If someone's still alive, they're probably going to do that. Because at the end of the day, like if it were to come out that Lyndon Johnson staged a coup, you can't let that out.
then why are we even going down the road?
That's a good question.
Here's the thing: if the like let's go under the assumption that they staged a coup or there was this or that. Like, I don't think they're going to put that in files that they'll just be like, well, we'll just trust nobody's going to unlock these in the future. Like, they're going to do all of this off the books, I would feel like.
Well, it would be the investigation they found. Yeah, but yes. Like, so the Warren Commission, which came up with the completely absurd single bullet theory, which the bullet traveled through two different people and made right turns and paused in midair. just insane. That's all going to be, you know, in there. I'm interested to see what Lee Harvey's actual tie to the CIA was, if there was one. All that stuff might be in there.
There's only one theory that I buy that I was like, okay, that could have happened, and they didn't want it publicly getting out. And that's the theory that's out there, that it was a mafia hit, basically.
Right, so apparently there's a jailhouse recordings of the mobster or mobsters. What happened with Jack Ruby in the jail?
It makes
George Joannides, all these people.
A ton of sense. That was a close election, Nixon and Kennedy. There were always rumors that Boston mob ties are what helped get Kennedy elected, and that then when Kennedy put Bobby as the attorney general and said, go after the mob, that they went, oh, no, you don't. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's a lot that makes sense there. And then if you find out that's where it came from, I would understand why they would go, we don't want to disclose publicly that this is the mob, and we just need to deal with this and get a case together and handle it, because this is the mob. It kind of operates differently.
And why were all these people in Dallas that weekend or that day? Why were all these mobsters in Dallas? Why was old man Bush in Dallas?
Because he was with the CIA.
Right, but it just happened to be like was he just traveling with everybody? You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of questions. Like, why were they all here?
I mean, this was the South. That was a very tense time, and Kennedy was not popular here.
No.
And that was like, I mean, there was a ton of security. That's why people have said it's so nuts, is because it's like there should have been hyper security because of how tense things were. It's honestly, you want to talk about intense? It's like when we talked about Nico Harrison walking through Victory Plaza or something. It was that kind of concern of just like, people are going to be angry with you riding through here.
Yeah.
And for them to not have the proper security, that obviously raises questions.
All right. It is Chopping It Up here on 105 Through the Fan. Let's go back to work. Back to the office. This is JP Morgan CEO Jamie Diamond, and he is he was on a leaked audio call, like a type of conference call, Zoom call, and he just absolutely went in on his employees over the return to office policy that they have implemented.
A lot of you were on the f-ing Zoom, and you were doing the following, okay? You know, looking at your mail, sending texts to each other about what an asshole the other person is. Okay, not paying attention, not reading your stuff, you know, and if you don't think that slows down efficiency, creativity, creates rudeness, and stuff, it does, okay? And when I found out that people are doing that, you don't do that in my goddamn meetings. You go to a meeting with me, you got my attention, you got my focus, I don't bring my goddamn phone, I'm not sending texts to people, okay? It simply doesn't work, and it doesn't work for creativity, it slows down decision-making. And don't give me the shit that work from home Friday works. I call a lot of people on Friday. They're not a goddamn person to get a hold of.
They were all laughing at the beginning. Yeah. And they're like, oh, he's serious.
He's serious now.
Yeah. Wow.
He's clearly a little unhinged. But I also feel like,
I think to be a CEO, you kind of have to be crazy.
I feel like a lot of people who get up to that point are that way because they're cutthroat and they're like, no, this is the way we're doing it. And that's how they get there a lot of times.
Yeah, I think you have to be a little crazy to get there. He wasn't done. He would continue.
I can't stand it anymore. Now, you have a choice. You don't have to work at JP Morgan. So the people of you who don't want to work at the company, that's fine with me. I'm not mad at you. Don't be mad at me. It's a free country. You can walk with your feet, you know, but this company is going to set our own standards and do it our own way. And I've had it with this kind of stuff. And, you know, I come in, you know, I've been working 7 days a damn week since COVID. And I come in and where's everybody else? But they're here and there and the Zooms don't show up. And people say they didn't get stuff. So that's not how you run a great company. We didn't build this great company by doing that, by doing the same semi-disease shit that everybody else does.
$2.7 billion net worth. So he's just now being like, where is everyone? Like, why isn't anyone in the office? It's COVID days, or they just still had the work from home policy.
They just had the work from home policy, I guess. And now they've, you know, a lot of companies have, you know, kind of like incrementally increased work from home.
But that's the balance you always talk about, right? Well, give your opinion on it.
To me, it's like he's right and wrong. Like, yes, there's no doubt. Like, you're probably more creative when you're all together.
Yeah.
Right.
And probably doing more work, staying on task more.
Yeah. But like, you know, is it worth
a happier feeling at home?
Right.
What does that get you in terms of production?
Is the upswing in production worth the reduction in morale?
You guys ever wonder?
Great question.
If our prep would be different, or if we were like sitting in a room together doing it the way like some like the other shows do, because they're here, obviously,
it would take half the time.
Do you think so? Like, I wonder sometimes if that's actually would be less effective for us.
Yeah,
because instead we just get our own mental space to like think through our thoughts and get everything, and then put it all together and go like, oh, how can we structure it all together? I actually think like if we were to sit together and do it, I don't think it would be as effective.
Good question. I mean, I guess every show would be different.
And, you know, if you take a survey working from home and you're honest about it, a true anonymous Odyssey survey, are you really doing more work? How is your work different doing it at home because you're in a better mood? You may not be in a better mood. Corey Major said he had to be in the building. He had to be here. Choppy and I would prefer to do the show from home.
Yeah.
And then, boom. 10:01, you can go about your day.
Right.
You don't have to wake up as early.
Sure.
So how do you work different at home in terms of the happiness level? But, man, I have to imagine there's a lot more slacking off.
There's probably more slacking off. No one's watching you. Nobody's watching. What is the drop off in production? And what is the threshold? If it's a 10% drop off in production, but a 50% upswing in company morale, like would the company take that? Probably.
And what does the morale get you, though?
Like, is the morale supposed to get better production?
Yeah. Long term, probably, yeah. It should.
This guy would probably be like, what do I give a rat's ass about your happiness and your morale? Like, how much extra production is that actually giving me?
I think a lot of companies, like, one of the things they don't want to do is have to find new people. Like, if you're happy in your job, you're probably going to stay. They don't have to train you. There's a learning curve.
But he also probably is thinking, I got $3 billion net worth by not giving a damn about your morale and just doing what I think I want to do.
Potentially. It's probably very, very true. It is Chopping It Up here on 105 Through the Fan.
Real quick, the fan text here, some Tolos weighing in. A lot of them disagree with this guy. 214, I work from home, or work from home is more productive than the office. 940 says, cry me a river, dude. And 214 says, there's no reason I need to be in an office.
Okay. So all a right. lot of disagreement from the Tolos.
All right. It is Chopping Up on 105 Through the Fan. Woman said she was horrified when her date asked to split the bill. She said, he invests his money, I invest my time.
Oh, my.
Are you even remotely going with a second date with a girl who says that?
No. The first date, okay, this is a fascinating breakdown, and things have probably changed, right? First off, I want to know how you, as a couple, married or not, decide on the bill policy, because that's a very awkward discussion to have. Like, Pepe, what do y'all do? Do you split every meal? Do you take care of 75% of them? You guys are not married. You are engaged. And how was it before?
Yeah, if she knows that I've paid for a lot, you know, like I have an upcoming trip to Boston that I've paid for. All the plane tickets were out of my pocket, so she might pay for dinner Friday night. If I've paid for a lot, you know, in the past week, she might whip out the credit card before I do at dinner. Just something like that. She likes to chip in here and there. But it's not a 50-50 split. Yeah. Bills are 50-50, but going out to eat and stuff like that, that's not 50-50.
I like you all's policy.
She pays for almost all the dinners. I pay for the house. I don't ask her for any bills.
Okay.
And then like with
but how did that conversation happen?
It didn't. She just kept.
Oh.
I never asked for anything for the house. I just pay for it.
That's great.
And she just always takes her card out first at dinner for the most part. And then like, you know, we had we booked the honeymoon. And you know, I put it on the credit card and she just Venmoed me. Like most of it right then and there.
And then she got canceled off Venmo like Alec Medford because it looked like a drug transaction. I believe the guy has to pay on the first date, but the girl should offer to pay. I just want the offer. I want the fake offer, but I have to pay, but she has to offer on the first one.
My most probably toxic old school thinking is that I absolutely have to pay for everything. And the mere suggestion of, do you want me to pay? Like, I am offended by it. Insulted. Like, you don't think I can? Like, I get worked up about it.
Yeah, but
Kristen snuck the bill one time while we were dating. When I gotten up to go to the bathroom, she got it quick. I was so legitimately furious over that. Like, I hate feeling like, yeah, I just, no, I can't do
it's
it.
It's the same money. What do you care where it comes from?
We're dating at this point. We didn't have the same bank account. And I was not going to have that.
Well, but now it's like, Kristen doesn't have, like, my wife a full-time job, so, yeah, it's like we're supposed to pay for stuff, and then they have roles and responsibilities themselves. That's the way I view it.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why I ate cereal last night.
And who went and shot for the cereal?
She did.
And she bought it with?
My money.
Exactly. There are the roles.
There you go. You want two more airplane stories or the crazy girlfriend, ex-girlfriend?
Up to you.
All right, let's go with the crazy ex-girlfriend here. This woman, her mugshot.
It up, after all.
Yes, it is. Her mugshot has gone viral. She was arrested for going to her ex-boyfriend's house, and she filled his gas tank with pre-sucked Skittles and Coke Zero.
Pre-sucked?
Like, she put them in her mouth, chewed them, and then put them in the gas tank.
Okay,
now, and I guess that, like,
what does that do differently?
It's like probably like a Mento, where you put a Mento.
Changes the color of it, makes it white.
Yes.
That's about it, though. Unless they were sour Skittles, then I get white.
Yeah, there you go. Then you don't
totally
know.
Different.
But I think the consistency, when they're broken up, like, dunkier. Now they adhere to the sidewalls or the piping or whatever. But, you know, if you drop a Mento in a Coke.
Mentos?
Mentos, right?
Do we call an individual one a Mento? I thought it was just they were Mentos.
I would think it would be an individual one would be a Mento.
So a Skittle.
A Skittle?
You said that they have a Skittle. You don't but say I've give always, me one Skittle.
I've always heard people say, give me a Mentos. That's how I've always heard it
Fair.
Said.
Fair.
Okay, so what else did she put it in?
Coke Zero. Into his gas tank. Try to start the car. Thousands of dollars in mechanical, you know, problems, damage. But yeah, so she got arrested. And look at this mugshot. Look at that mugshot.
She's smiling.
Yeah, she's got that smirk. Like, yeah.
She kind of looks like Ray J's girl.
I got you.
She's attractive.
She is. Yes, she's very attractive.
Which is makes it, as I told you, the saying that people live by, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. Now, Now, that does not mean that my wife is ugly.
My wife is from the 50s.
My wife is very, very attractive. It is a song from the 50s. But my point is, people would look at her and go, oh my gosh, why'd you break up with her? She's fine. She's hot. She's smoking. Well, because she's bat-ass crazy. That's why.
Yeah, there's the, it's the hot crazy matrix chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you put up with a poor diet as long as you have Luka Doncic, right? So, like, you deal with the stuff that comes with the superstar.
I had an early college girlfriend, or right out of high school girlfriend. We argued all the time. She was in my apartment. I said, just get out, leave. Go drive back to Baltimore. 90 minutes, get out, roll out, leave. And she left. It was probably like an hour later. All of a sudden, I heard a bunch of ruckus. She storms back in, bursts open the door, and was like, we're not. I'm leaving. I'm driving back, but we are not breaking up. I'm just letting you know. And then storm back out. And I did kind of chuckle and laugh at that. You know, I was like, okay.
You sent a woman back to Baltimore at night.
Yeah.
That's cold.
That's cold. Get out.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a huge scratch on the side of my Jeep from someone. Someone, I think, was trying to, like, get into. I heard this beeping on my DFW security lock, and I'm pretty sure it was an individual. I know it was, with the camera.
Jeez.
Trying to go ahead. Yeah.
When was that?
A long time ago.
Oh, okay. So not like this wasn't like the last year or whatever. Okay.
I've been with Amanda for the last year.
But I didn't
year.
Know if it was just you had some crazy like burglar come by or something.
Oh, no. It was stalking type effect.
I do have a crack in my windshield, but it's not from anybody. This is just from a stone. But I've had several cracks in my windshield from a certain someone, a singular someone.
Yes. You're
going to have some more if you keep giving funeral flowers for Valentine's.
877-881-1053 to hit us up during the commercial-free expressway here on Sean and RJ. Why does no one want to be the next face of the NBA? And can it now be Luka in L.A.? Stephen A. Smith says nope. That's next on The Fan.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.